never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, and I will say all the goodness of God. Sing all my life. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am making, I will sing all the goodness of God. And I love your voice.
Thank you so much. Thank you for being here with us in person. Thank you for those of you who are online. We know we have several who are out sick, so keep those people in your prayers. We'll share about some of those a little bit later in the service. But want to welcome everybody who's on all of our social media platforms, whether you're on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter. Be sure to heart, like, share, follow, subscribe. I do know that Twitter is having some issues with our videos. It's on their end, not ours. They warned us of that already. So if you have any issues there, switch over to one of the other platforms. But thank you for trying to watch there. We do know we have some individuals who do watch on that. Also, thank you for watching on our phone live streaming. If you need that number, see me after the service. I'll be glad to give that to you. If you're at home and want to share that with someone who doesn't have the internet, call the church office tomorrow. We'll be glad to share that with you there. If you do have access to the website at home, go to HighlandBaptistChurch.com. It's under the info tab. You can download the worship bulletin for today. These are at the doors as you came in, so be sure and grab one of those. There are a lot of upcoming activities. We've got our children's worship bulletins, one for ages 3 and up, one for ages 7 and up. They're in the windowsill to my right over here. They're also under that info tab, and the prayer list is also under that same info tab. So be sure to get all of those things downloaded. If you're a guest who's here with us this morning, we want to especially make sure that you get one of our gift bags that are on the sides of the stage or at the doors, both doors as you come in. Please pick up one of those. We want want to make sure that you get one of those. It's got some information about our church in it. It's got some gifts in it that we want to say thank you for being here with us this morning. If you brought someone, would you make sure that they get one also? But let's go ahead and continue with our worship. Brother Mike, if you'll come.
Good morning, all. I know you probably just sat down, so let's stand again and praise the Lord by singing 261, Wonderful Words of Life, all three verses. Didn't hear what he said, but I think he told me to keep singing. All right. Those things called electrons just seem to keep getting in the way. I'm a mechanical guy, and I'm scared of electrons, but they seem to be the biggest culprit in a lot of our problems. If you would, go ahead. I know they'll be doing announcements when we get further along into service. If you would, turn to hymn 337. And let's continue praising the Lord through song as we sing, I Know Whom I Have Believed. So, I know not why God's wondrous grace I
Electrons that were misfiring were up here. So, it was a user error. So, thank you all for bearing with us there. But we did get that up there for you. Just want to remind you, this is our missionary of the moment part of our service that we'll go back to in your order of service or your bulletin there. Our missionaries of the week are Clarissa Morrison, who is serving in Montreal, Canada. You'll find her story there in your bulletin. Be sure to take the time to read that. We want to pray for her as she begins her ministry there and for students to respond to the gospel with bold faith as she's seeking to share with students there. And so let's pray for her. Pray for our missionaries in Moldova also, and just want to uplift them in our prayers, as well as all of our missionaries around the world. You'll also, just to remind you of another update, our Lottie Moon Christmas offering continues to grow, supporting those international missionaries. You'll see that in your bulletins. There were our offerings from last week, 8,941. So thank you, Lord Jesus, for that. Amen. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer for our missionaries. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the wonderful blessing that you are to us, Lord, that you love us, you care for us, you show us mercy when we don't deserve any of that. And Father, I pray that you would forgive us of our sins, that you would cleanse us, Lord, of all of our unrighteousness by the precious blood of Jesus Christ as we call out to you for forgiveness of our sin. Father, there may be those who are here this morning or watching online who need Jesus as their Lord and their Savior. And I pray, Lord, that everything we do, whether it's in song or whether it's in the word that is brought, that it will speak to people's hearts to come to faith in Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Father, we pray for many believers who are here that you will just have your hand upon them also and to continue to encourage and strengthen them. We especially, Lord, want to remember our missionaries. We pray, Lord, that you would be with Clarissa Morrison and our missionaries in Moldova also. Father, we just pray that you will have your hand of blessing upon them. Thank you, Lord, that you blessed us, that we could be a blessing to those international missionaries through the love offering that we do for the Lottie Moon Christmas offering that supports those international missionaries 100% with that offering. Father, we pray that you would continue to bless us each and every day, that as we give of our tithes and our offerings, a percentage of that goes also to support missions on the field, whether it's locally in our state or around the nation or even around the world. So bless us, Lord, that we might be a blessing to the nations. And Father, we just pray this morning that as we come here to worship you, there are so many things we come that are burdening our hearts. We just pray, God, for your hand of healing to be upon us, Lord. We pray for you to uplift our spirits, Lord, to remove any of those burdens and those cares upon us, and help us, Lord, to have your spirit giving us the strength that we need to keep pressing forward one moment at a time, one day at a time. Bless this service in every way that you can. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen and amen. I just want to remind you, especially if you're at home, that you can do your online giving there on our church website, highlandbaptistchurch.com. Go to the far right-hand side, click that Give Online tab. Easy platform there for you to do that. You can do your regular offering. You can do the international missions offering for Lottie Moon, Christmas offering. Some people still give to that throughout the year. You can also give to the Annie Armstrong Easter offering. We'll be emphasizing that in particular with our goal in a few weeks. So we want to encourage you to be praying about that. And then also don't forget that we have some connection cards. They are the little holders on the walls there as you come in and go out. Please, if we don't have your information, you're not getting our mail outs, you're not getting our call outs, and you want to get those things, pick up one of those, fill it out, place it in an offering plate, or drop it by the church office later in the week so we can get you plugged in to those things. If you're not getting our newsletter and you want to receive that also. So just wanted to remind you that. Don't forget the YouVersion Bible app. Encourage you to continue signing up for that. You can do that with the QR code that's on your screen. We do have a Bible reading plan that we're doing called Lord Hear Our Cry. It's a 30-day prayer challenge. We'll be continuing that throughout the month of February, and then we'll be emphasizing a new one coming the month of March. Coming up also this month is our Men's Night of Worship that the association is doing. It's going to be over at Rutledge Falls Baptist Church on February the 28th. There's a meal at 4 o'clock. The service is going to be at 5. It's a barbecue competition with prizes and all those things. You can scan the QR code there to register for the competition, as well as to register to go. It doesn't cost anything for you to go. They just need to know how many are planning to go. If you don't want to sign up on that and you just want to let me know. We'll put your name down on a list that we'll share with the association. And then also don't forget the Bless app. We're encouraging you to sign up for this. You can scan that QR code. This is a new QR code beside the one that we had been putting out before. This one will take you, when you do sign up, directly to our church on there. You won't have to take that extra step to do that, but you can scan this QR code. You can call the church office, but we want to share a little bit more with you about how this works and what it does for you and for our church as we pray for our neighbors and seeking to be a blessing in our community. So watch this video, if you will.
Warriors, Lord, who will fight on their knees.
We can use the technology of today and use it as a harvest tool to reach souls for Christ.
And now we have this incredible tool, blesseveryhome.com.
We're taking the latest consumer data and merging it with current mapping technology
to pray for every single person in our community by name.
Sign up free at blesseveryhome.com. And you'll receive a map and list of your neighbors, along with the tools to pray for them by name, care for, and share the gospel with them.
The ease of use and convenience has literally taken away every excuse that we could possibly come up with for why we can't engage the Lord on our neighbor's behalf.
There's also the ability to print out a list of names if you don't even have a computer.
You can even highlight your pray, care, share journey with each neighbor home using the colored icon. Red means you are praying for that home. Yellow shows you know each other by name and you are caring for them. Choose green when you are actively sharing the gospel. Make the home blue when those neighbors are active disciples of Christ. Each neighbor home has its own journal. You can also choose to receive scheduled reminder emails with the next 5 neighbor homes to pray for that day. Your members will see their neighborhood in a whole new light.
What are we waiting on? The harvest is now.
Our prayer is that every single home in America is being prayed for by name.
You'll never reach any more people than you pray for.
If every believer would get behind Bless Every Home, we could see a revival in America beyond all we could hope, think, or imagine. Join Bless Every Home and see how prayer can change your community.
Raise up a generation, Lord, that will take light into this world, that they will proclaim that there is salvation in the name of Jesus Christ. Raise them up, Lord, raise them up.
It used to be called Bless Every Home. It is just simply called Bless now, and you can see what Bless stands for there on the right-hand side or on the left-hand side of your screen there. So encourage you to take the time to do that. It's a wonderful opportunity for us to be able to pray for our neighbors by name. You could pray for your neighbors generically, but you can uplift them in prayer. You can even make notes as you're praying for them, as you're having conversations with them to remind you of where you are along that journey. So encourage you to take the time to sign up and be a blessing in your community.
Children's Church will be gathering over on the piano side during this hymn. If you would, stand with us as we sing hymn 142, There Is a Fountain.
Oh,
Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn them to Romans chapter 3. It is not the message that you see in your bulletins there. We are actually continuing from last week. I did not was out of the office a lot this week and did not get with Amy on changing that. So we're doing part two of last week, which is righteous, righteous, righteous. We did not finish those verses, and so I wanted to go back. We're going to hit just a real quick review of those verses we looked at last week, and then we're going to get to those last two verses, verse 25 and verse 26, that have so much depth and treasure there for us in those verses. So Romans chapter 3, I'm just going to ask you, and you may have to jump ahead on some of the slides there, Janice, to go to verse 25 and verse 26. That's what we're going to be looking at mostly this morning. So if you would, let's stand and read God's word in honor of his word, Romans 3, verse 25 and 26. Now this is speaking, actually just go back to verse 24, or go back to 23, we'll go to 23, to pick up the thought here. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance, he passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come once again to Romans 3 here, Lord, these are weighty verses. Lord, there is a lot of deep understanding for us to get into. And Father, I pray that we would feed on some of the meat of your word this morning. I can't tell you where every person, Lord, is on their spiritual journey. Some, Lord, are still feeding on the milk of the word, and that's where they are in their journey. And so I pray, Lord, they would find some milk of the word of God in this passage. But Lord, those who are more mature in their faith, may they see and begin to understand a little bit more about their relationship with you and how you make us righteous when we still are sinners. Father, I pray that these verses, especially these last two verses we're looking at, will come alive to us. They would be relevant to us. They would be applicable to us. Use them, Lord, to transform our lives into a life of faith. A life not just faith intellectually or mentally or emotionally, but Lord, a life of faith that we are living out the truth of your word, trusting in Jesus day by day, and that you would lead us day by day. So bless your word this morning. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. So I'm going to try to move as quickly as I can through these earlier verses that we looked at, but just kind of going back to where we began last week, we talked about who here truly feels righteous. You would feel confident this morning standing before God knowing that your life is exactly the way that it ought to be. I would dare say there's not a person here who could honestly raise their hand and say, that's me. And Paul said that in verse 10. He said, none is righteous, no, not one. And in verse 19 through verse 20, he says it. Again in verse 23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. It is a hard reality for us to face. And yet it's a passage and an emphasis all throughout Scripture that the Scripture tells us, even back in Proverbs 28 and verse 1, that the righteous are as bold as a lion. So when you look at that and you begin to think about what does that mean, bold as a lion, how can that be? How can anybody live boldly before a holy God when our lives condemn us and our failures are staring us right in the face? We know our sins. That's the questions that we're answering this morning and again as we did last week. And yet God's word points us
to that kind of a life of fearless confidence, of a life of boldness that does not come from our perfection, doesn't come from our performance, but it comes from something far greater. It comes from God's righteousness that is credited to us through our faith in Jesus Christ. So you'll see that all throughout the New Testament, and you may have been trying to figure out, what does that mean, that his righteousness is credited to me? That's what we're talking about in these verses, and hopefully you'll understand that a little bit more as we continue even through chapter 4. I made the illustration and shared the illustration with you last time about William Cowper, who in 1759 was a smart man. He was a sensitive man, a loving, compassionate man, but yet he suffered a complete mental breakdown. He had attempted suicide 3 times and believed that he was hopelessly condemned. And one day, through the providence of God, he admitted himself to an insane asylum. He encountered a doctor there who shared the gospel with him. And then later he found a Bible laying on a bench in the garden, opened up that Bible and began to read, and came across Romans 3, verse 25, that we're looking at this morning. And he read about Christ's sacrifice for sin. And instantly, the gospel began to break through into the darkness of his heart. And he realized that God's righteousness could be his, not because of anything he had done, but because of what Jesus Christ had already done on the cross. Later, after he left that asylum, he met John Newton, who wrote Amazing Grace. He discovered him and talked with him. John Newton encouraged him to write poetry, and Newton told him that he wanted him to help him write a hymn book. And from that moment, fear turned to boldness and despair to hope, and Cowper lived the rest of his life encouraged. Not without obstacles, not without difficulties still, but he served God faithfully, and he wrote hymns that are still sung today. Hymns like God Moves in a Mysterious Way. Hymns like God of My Life, to Thee We Call, and hymns like the one we just sang a moment ago, There Is a Fountain Filled with Blood. Because the gospel transformed his life. That's the power of God's righteousness. Boldness is not about who we are, it's about who God is. And so we're going to continue to see this morning how the righteousness, which the righteous people are those who place their faith in Christ, how those righteous can stand tall, face the future unafraid, and live courageously in the midst of life's uncertainty. So as we study God's Word together, I want you to see that this boldness is available to you, not because you're perfect. We won't ever be totally perfect till we get to heaven. But it's there for you because of God's faithfulness. So we look at that question, who feels righteous? Righteous people are bold because they hope in God. Now, that doesn't deny the fact that there are still hardships in life. There is still going to be sorrow in life. There is still going to be uncertainty. But you can, in the midst of all of those things, still stand unafraid, clothed in God's strength, knowing that your life is held in His hands. And so all of this begins to raise some questions. Is there a righteousness that can belong to us even though we are sinners? In other words, we're getting at the heart of the issue. How can God declare you righteous, knowing who you are? You know who you are. You know the faults. You know the sins you have. How can God declare us righteous even when we know we fall short? Well, we found out last time that God provides a righteousness that is not our own. We saw that in verse 21 and verse 22. That is a justification by faith. We also saw that the righteous shall live by faith was promised long before. Paul tells us this righteousness is witnessed by the law and the prophets in verse 21. Abraham believed God. You can read about it in the book of Hebrews. You can see it over in the Old Testament also in Genesis 15, verse 6. Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Not because of some deed that he did, not because of some effort that he put forth, but it was accounted to him as righteousness because he believed in God. You think about David, who celebrated the blessing of forgiveness in Psalm 32. Habakkuk in the Old Testament declared the righteous live by faith. Isaiah foretold the suffering servant who would justify many in Isaiah 53 and verse 11. And so what we began to just barely get into was that God is the one who justifies. God is the one who justifies. And that led us to some truths that hold us when everything else falls apart. You saw that in verse 23 and verse 24. Verse 23 talks about the universal need of every human being. Look at that verse again. It's a verse many of you probably have memorized. Verse 23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." That is the universal human need of every person on the face of this planet. But verse 24 gives the all-sufficient remedy for that need when it says, "And are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption of that is in Christ Jesus." And so he tells us there how we can be saved, how our problem can be fixed by trusting in Jesus as our Lord and our Savior. And we saw that the clear picture there of sin, that we need to understand the weight of that sin. We need to understand the all-sufficient remedy there in verse 24, that apart from the law, the righteousness of God had been manifested, that God has acted. God has shown himself faithful, that justification is a being justified. It's not just that you walk down an aisle and gave your heart to the Lord Jesus and now you're justified and you're covered and you've got this salvation now that you're automatically going to go to heaven. You can go out now and live whatever way you want. You can do all the sinning that you want. Absolutely not. Paul's going to even talk about that a little more later here. What he's talking about here with that justification, it's a being justified. It's a continuous action. It's a courtroom word. God is the judge. We're the guilty ones. And yet the judge declares us righteous because of what Jesus did. It's a passive verb, being justified. We're not the ones doing it. It's not in and of ourselves. It's from and of God. Salvation is not somehow some kind of self-improvement. It is divine intervention. In fact, you see in the next phrase that it's a gift. And so Paul makes it unmistakably clear about justification as a gift. The word means without price. And we referenced a verse over in Revelation chapter 22 and verse 17. It's the same word that's used there that says, "The Spirit and the bride say, come, and let the one who hears say, come, and let the one who is thirsty come, let the one who desires take the water of life without price." You cannot buy salvation. You cannot buy justification. You cannot earn it. You cannot trade for it. There is nothing in your hands that God needs or requires. And so that's where human pride begins to be shattered. So understand that. If justification were not a gift, then only the strong, only the most disciplined, only the most successful spiritually would have any hope in this world. But because it is a gift, even the weakest sinner can come. In other words, it does not depend on your past. It does not depend on your education. It doesn't depend on how you've lived your life before. It doesn't depend on your spiritual achievements. The only qualification is you need it, and God provided it. So stop striving to try to earn what God has already offered. You can stop trying to prove yourself worthy. The gift of justification invites us to rest. It invites us to just trust in the finished work of Jesus on the cross. If there were anything else that had to be added to our salvation, then what Jesus did on the cross was of no value because it wasn't enough. But what he did on the cross and his resurrection from the tomb secured salvation, secured eternal life for those who would receive the free gift. Now, notice the next phrase there is by his grace. So Paul deepens the truth even further there. Grace is not just kindness. It is undeserved favor. It is God doing for us what we could never do for ourselves. Romans 4:4 said it clearly. Now to the one who works, his wages are not counted as a gift, but as his due. So if salvation could be earned, God would owe it to you. But God owes no one anything. Grace means that he gives because he chooses to, not because we deserve it. So understand this, grace humbles us because it removes every reason for our boasting. It silences every excuse for comparison. Every one of us stand on the same ground at the foot of the cross. Sinners are all saved by the mercy of God. You go back and you look at the Old Testament, and many times the question begins to spin around in your heads. Well, what about those people? How did they become saved? They didn't even know about Jesus dying on the cross yet or his resurrection from the grave. They're saved the same way that you are. They are saved by grace, by faith. That's why you have Hebrews 11 that tells you over and over and over, this Old Testament person by faith, another Old Testament person by faith. If you want to learn more about those, come on Sunday nights. We're going through the book of Hebrews and we're in chapter 11. We all stand at the same ground at the foot of the cross. So understand that grace also frees us from fear, because if our salvation were based on our performance, man, we'd live in all kinds of constant anxiety. But because it's based on God's grace, you can live in confidence. Grace changes the way we live, because when you truly understand that you're saved by grace, you no longer serve God out of guilt or I have to or out of fear, but you serve him out of gratitude and out of love for him. Obedience becomes a response to grace, not a requirement to earn it. And then that last phrase there said, through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. Because there, Paul brings back the solid ground beneath everything that he said. He said, it's through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. That is the foundation of making you justified. You could look at it a simplistic way of justification, saying, just as if I'd never sinned. Justified. Just as if I'd never sinned. That's the foundation. God doesn't just simply overlook sin. He doesn't pretend we're innocent. He redeems us. He delivers us at a great cost. And so understand this, his ransom was not silver or gold, it was his own life. It was on the cross that he bore the full weight of our guilt. Every sin that you've ever committed, whether it's in the past, whether it's right now, whether it's in the future, was placed on Jesus Christ. The worst of the worst that you could do, or that you have done, or that anybody on the face of this earth has done or could ever do, was placed on Jesus at the cross. The judgment that we deserved fell on him. It fell on him so that the grace that we didn't deserve could fall on us. So understand that redemption means that the price has already been paid. It's in Christ Jesus. It's not in the church. It's not in some spiritual habits that you need to develop. It's not in some religious system. It's found in the person of Jesus Christ. When you receive him as your Lord and your Savior, when you place your faith in Christ, his death becomes